All right, let's talk about. All right, first let's talk about metered dose inhalers and other ways of breathing in medications. Now, the most common breathing breathing medication device in the community is what we call the metered dose inhaler. How many of you have ever seen the movie Goonies? All right, so little Sean Astin before he became a hobbit. Now, throughout the movie, he gets short of breath and goes, that's what we're talking about, an inhaler. Now, the proper way to take an inhaler, you should not do it the way he does it in that movie. So, get your inhaler. All right, shake it up. All right, now, what I want you to do is I want you to take a deep breath and then breathe out. Put it up to your mouth and go. And then slowly out. Okay, so what he does in the movie, he goes like this. All he did was put it in his mouth. What you want to do is you do a, and as you do that, keep breathing in. Hold your breath for at least a count of five, and then breathe out slowly. Now, if you have to do two puffs, what do? Is that it? Wait 1 minute for the first dose to work, which will open you up a little bit so that the next dose will work even better. All right, let's do it all together again. Shake it up. Breathe out. Wait how long? And then do it again. All right. Now, in addition to using the regular MDI, I mean, that takes a bit of skill and coordination. You can use what's called a spacer. When you use a spacer, it's a little tube that fits onto the end of an inhaler. You'll click it, you'll into the spacer, then put it up to your mouth, and then and the rest. So what a lot of people do when they use a spacer, they have the spacer on here and they try and go, it doesn't work that way. Got it? All right. Dry powdered inhalers are a DPI. Dry powder inhalers have powder instead of an aerosol. Oh, here's another thing. Saving the planet. What is the propellant for most inhalers? Chlorofluorocarbon, the dreaded CFC. What does the CFC do, supposedly? Destroys our ozone layer. As a result, we must no longer produce it. We must ban it. So, if you notice nowadays, we have albuterol or Ventolin HFA, which is more expensive than the old stuff. The HFA is the new propellant that is supposedly ozone friendly. So this stuff is safe enough to inhale into an asthmatic or COPD lung and not cause any inflammation, but we can't put it into the atmosphere, even in such small amounts that it's basically none. Now, I mean, it's another thing to put it in debutante hairspray, because, I mean, that's like, you know, gosh, I can't even be in the room when my wife does her hair. I'm like, how do you do that? So, anyway, another thing. Dry powdered inhalers have no propellant. It's just powder. And so, typically what you can do is you prepare it, you pierce the, if it's a capsule, you pierce the capsule in a little chamber, or if you have Advair, you cock the little thing back, put it up to your mouth, and just one smooth inhalation. Hold it for 5 seconds. Nebulizers, this is the device when they typically use for little kids who can't master the regular metered dose inhaler, or you also use them in the hospital for older people who a metered dose inhaler just isn't enough. What it is, it's a little tube with an air source in it, and the air source bubbles up through the medication and causes the medication to turn into an aerosol, which the patient will then put in their mouth and breathe. Now, in order for an inhaler or a nebulizer to work, what do you have to do? Put it up to your mouth and breathe. Sometimes in the hospital, what you'll see is you got a patient who's got their nebulizer and they're waving it all around and they're talking to their friends, and guess where it's not going? In their mouth. And so they're just kind of nebulizing the air. What we want it to do is be breathed in. So you got to tell the patient, shut up, take your nebulizer, then talk with your friends. And in Obama lingo, this is an inhalator. That's what he called him. Yeah, the inhalator. All right, so let's talk about drug classes. We have two big drug classes. We have bronchodilators and we have anti-inflammatories. Now, within the bronchodilators, we have three subclasses. We have alpha adrenergic drugs. What do you think they're going to do? Stimulate. Did I say alpha? Where does alpha come from? Just adrenergic. People are crazy sometimes, I tell you. Who would go in here and vandalize these notes? Adrenergic drugs, of which they're going to stimulate either beta or a bunch of stuff. Then we have anticholinergics. How do they work? They block muscarinic receptors causing bronchodilation and less mucus. They do cause that other stuff, but in this case, just in the lung. All right, methylxanthines are the last one, and we'll talk about them a little bit later, not as much, because they're not used as often anymore. In the anti-inflammatories, we have three basic classes. We have steroids, which we've talked about a bit. We have cromolyn, which is now available over the counter. And then we have leukotriene inhibitors, of which you're probably most familiar with Singulair, because it's on the TV all the time, and some of you may have actually taken this at one time. All right, let's talk about adrenergic drugs. The non-selective ones, we used to use ephedrine, from which we get pseudoephedrine, but we don't use it anymore. We can use epinephrine. You actually still get this over the counter in the form of Primatene Mist. Now, here is proof that the FDA does not have your best interest at heart. Albuterol is a much safer drug than epinephrine, but guess what you can get over the counter? Epinephrine. Guess what you can't get over the counter? Albuterol. Does that make any sense to you? No, it doesn't. So epinephrine, you can actually get this over the counter in the form of Primatene Mist. And really, the only time we use it in healthcare setting is for status asthmaticus. And in that case, how is it going to be given? Subcutaneously. Isoproterenol, we don't use that anymore either. So really, the only one you need to remember is epinephrine. Now, the newer drugs are selective for beta-2. Now, beta-2 exists in several different places in the body, but the big place you want to think is beta-2, because you have two lungs. Beta-2, two lungs. Beta-2, two lungs. Beta-2, two lungs. So when you stimulate beta-2, what's it going to do? Say again? Affect the lungs. Okay, good. And how? Bronchodilation and less mucus. Gosh, that sounds almost the same as anticholinergics, doesn't it? Yeah. Why, yes, it does. So remember, fight or flight, you want to get more air in. And if you don't need to be producing mucus right now, because we need to be fighting. Fewer systemic side effects. So what do you think the number one side effect of epinephrine was? Bum, 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 bum. Heartbeat. Heart rate just going like crazy. So fewer systemic side effects, less elevated blood pressure, less cardiac effects. They're going to promote bronchodilation. They're going to suppress lung histamine, reducing edema. And they're also going to increase ciliary motility, meaning you cough up whatever mucus is down there. Adverse events. It can still cause a little bit of tachycardia. Now, I have been told by some of my patients that the brand name albuterol, Ventolin or Proventil, did not cause tachycardia for them, but the generic ones did. That would lead one to believe that it's not necessarily the albuterol itself, it's additives or propellants inside the inhaler. It can also cause nervousness, irritability, and tremor. And that's related to the beta-2. So, you know when when the cop pulls up behind you and you get all kind of shaky and cold feeling and you You can still get some of that from getting albuterol. It can cause chest pain, and inhaled preparations are going to have less side effects than preparations that you take by mouth. So you can take albuterol by mouth. They have syrup and tablets. Those are typically for little kids who can't, you know, take an inhaler. Or you can breathe them in. Fewer side effects breathing them in. Side effects are also dose related. The more you take, the more likely you are to have side effects. All right, now we have two different kinds of beta-2 agonists. We have short-acting and we have long-acting. The short-acting begin within seconds and usually last 3 to 5 hours. The long-acting begin anywhere from 2 minutes to 30 minutes and last about 10 to 12 hours. Now, here's the thing you must remember. Never, ever, ever use a long-acting as a rescue inhaler. That's a good way to kill a person. And in fact, some people have died from that.
Never use it as what?
Never use a long-acting inhaler as a rescue inhaler. Because people will die from that.
Because it doesn't work
quickly enough. So there was a study where they were comparing long-acting to short-acting, and what they were trying to do was say, okay, the long-acting inhaler, does that work better than a short-acting inhaler for controlling symptoms? But when a person was short of breath and needed a rescue inhaler, they're supposed to use their short-acting inhaler. But what happened was people would forget them at home, or they would take the long-acting instead, and a few people died because they took the wrong inhaler. Long-acting inhalers are for prevention of symptoms. To treat existing symptoms, you're going to use short-acting. Well, you use the short-acting one to make the symptoms go away, then you use the long-acting one to keep them from coming back. Yeah. All right, routes, either inhaled or oral. And short-acting is PRN as needed. Long-acting are in a fixed dose, which means you take them whether you feel like you need it or not. That's one of the other thing that's hard to get patients to understand. If they've been used to taking just the short-acting when they feel short of breath, and now they're put on a long-acting, you need to tell them, you know, you take this every day at the exact same time, whether you feel like you need it or not, because it's going to prevent the symptoms from coming back. All right, here are several different short-acting ones. The only two you need to remember are albuterol and levalbuterol. Now, what do you think levalbuterol means? What is D-glucose versus L-glucose? You guys learn about that in biochem? You guys didn't take biochem. Okay, well, if you shine a special kind of light on a chemical, the light will reflect and shine either in a left-handed manner or a right-handed manner. For you, left-handed manner or a right-handed manner. The left one is called levorotatory. The right one is called dextrorotatory. So in this case, we have a leftward side. So what I want you to do is I want you to hold up your hand. Now, get a blank piece of paper, put your hand down, and trace it. You're going to make a Thanksgiving turkey right now. Do it. Where's your turkey? All right, now, take your other hand and put it on top of your turkey. Does it fit? No, it doesn't fit. So now, hold your two hands up together. But they're identical, aren't they? They're mirror images. So, drugs can be a mixture of a left and a right hand together. If you have that, we call it a racemic mixture. So albuterol is left and right-handed drugs together mixed up. It's a racemic mixture. Levalbuterol is only the left hand. Now, as it turns out, if you give a patient only the left hand of albuterol, they will have a better response and they'll have fewer side effects. So that's your first introduction to what we call stereochemistry. Stereo meaning two images. So the left hand and the right hand are called stereoisomers. So when you hold your hand up to each other, they look the same, but they're mirror images. They are stereoisomers. Say stereoisomer. Good job. All right. Long acting. The long acting, we have two. You're going to need to remember these, salmeterol and formoterol. Salmeterol was the drug that killed people by accident. As a result, it's no longer available in an inhaler form. So that way people won't get confused anymore. It's only available in combination with a steroid, and that drug is called Advair. It's purple. You may have seen it sometime, at least a commercial. Right, it doesn't come in as an inhaler anymore. No, it's a dry powder. It's a dry powder. Yeah, it's not a metered dose inhaler. Yeah. Formoterol comes as a DPI, which looks nothing like a metered dose inhaler, and right now it is available by itself. It's also available in combination, and I forget the name of that drug now. Symbicort. That's it. All right, oral. Oral, you've got albuterol and terbutaline. These are both available in tablets, but terbutaline hardly ever used anymore. Albuterol used mostly in kids who can't, they come as a syrup and use them in kids who can't take an inhaler. Now, what do you do for a kid who can't take an inhaler, but they really need an inhaler? What do you do for them? Say again? Okay. But even sometimes you have kids who are too small to put their mouth on a spacer and suck inwards. So what do you do for them?
Don't you use a mask?
Okay, so you use a nebulizer with a mask. Of course, that can be scary for some kids. So in that kid, then you use the syrup. I understand it's quite tasty. Now, dosing. Albuterol MDI is usually 1 to 2 puffs every 4 to 6 hours as needed. So again, deep exhale, inhale and puff. Keep inhaling all the way up. Hold that breath, 5 to 10 count, and then breathe out slowly. Wait 1 minute before doing it again. If you have trouble doing this, you need to use a spacer. Dry powdered inhaler, you prime it, and then one inhalation, not a puff, just one inhalation, breathe in smoothly. This is what Advair looks like. We'll go over these next semester in tech skills. We'll learn how to use these. This is what the formoterol one looks like. You put a pill in here, and then you squeeze those two things, which puts these little razor blades in there and slices it up, and then you put it up to your mouth and all right, next drug class. So that was beta agonists. Next drug class is anticholinergics. Anticholinergics are derivatives of atropine, and the two you need to remember are ipratropium and tiotropium. They are approved only for COPD, but they're sometimes used for asthma patients too. They reduce bronchospasm and mucus, and they have very few systemic side effects because they almost pretty much just stay in the lung. So you're not going to get all the dry mouth, dementia, all that other stuff with these drugs. Ipratropium takes about 30 minutes to start working, and it lasts 6 hours. So should this ever be used as a rescue inhaler? No. It's available as both MDIs and nebulizers. There's a version that's combined with albuterol called CombiVent. So albuterol plus ipratropium is called CombiVent. You can also get it intranasally for allergic rhinitis. If you're one of those people who's just like drips out the nose at certain times of the year, you might want to ask your doctor about intranasal ipratropium. Stuff works like crazy. Tiotropium, or Spiriva, is newer and it lasts longer, and it's available in a dry powdered inhaler called the Handihaler. We'll teach you how to use that too. All right, next drug class in the bronchodilators is called methylxanthines. These are chemically similar to caffeine and cause some of the same side effects as caffeine. Alertness, tremors, heart flutters, only much stronger than caffeine. Can also cause central nervous system excitation. Can make people feel hopped up, ready to go. Can cause cardiac stimulation and vasodilation and also cause diuresis. They're usually considered third line. Third line means you try them after you've tried everything else. Why are they considered third line, do you think? Lots of side effects and what does the narrow therapeutic range have to do with it? So there's a very small distance between non-therapeutic and toxic. So there's only a very narrow range in which the person is actually being treated properly. So as a result, they're kind of dangerous because of all those side effects. And who tends to have COPD in the first place? Elderly people. And elderly people tend to have more heart problems than younger people. So again, not used as often anymore. The two drugs in this class are theophylline and aminophylline. You can give them IV, but it's very dangerous. Really shouldn't be done. They interact with a lot of other drugs, including some over-the-counter drugs, which can also make them dangerous. All right, next class, we're going to skip. We've moved from bronchodilators. What were our three classes of bronchodilators? Adrenergic, anticholinergic, and methylxanthines. So those are the three bronchodilators. Now, we're going to move to anti-inflammatories.